Who'd have thought an antitrust case could be a spectator sport? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, in for Molly Wood. Legal arguments between Apple and Epic Games wound down this week in federal court. Some have called it the Super Bowl of antitrust cases. No flashy halftime show, but the trial did have mighty opponents, wild fans, and a whole lot of cash. Epic, the maker of the game Fortnite, argues Apple's whole operating system is a monopoly and complains about the 30% cut of app sales it takes. But Apple says its tight controls ensure the security of apps in its store. A decision isn't expected anytime soon, but I asked Addie Robertson, a senior reporter with The Verge, what we can take away from the case.
Companies like Apple have a bunch of control not only over, say, the hardware that you're looking at when you look at a device, but the way that the entire business around, say, visiting anything from a yoga app to your favorite game works. There is a lot of money changing hands just for being able to have that software on a device. If there's really any kind of loss for Apple, we could see apps of all kinds change the way that they operate a little bit in response to those changes.
What came to light during this case that we might not have learned otherwise?
So one thing we learned about Fortnite is that, for one thing, it's iOS is a relatively small part of its user base, and it struck deals with companies like Sony, where actually they're a little bit more restrictive than we had known before. So say Epic and Sony have a deal where Epic will actually offer a sort of compensation if somebody is playing a bunch of Fortnite on the PlayStation, but spending a bunch of money on other platforms. Apple, we now know a lot more about basically its claims that it doesn't measure specific parts of its business. Epic sort of brought in an expert witness who analyzed what he thought were Apple's like returns on the App Store, and he came up with this incredibly high profit margin of like 70-some%. And then Apple went through and tried to work really hard to explain why it does not itemize any of this, and you know exactly one number for profits and loss at Apple.
And Apple had also, you know, the foundation of its argument was over the security that it offers. But we also heard from an Apple software engineer that there is actually a lot of malware on its operating system, right?
So yeah, one of Epic's big arguments is, well, Apple has made macOS for a long time. It thinks macOS is good. And macOS uses the model that Epic would like to see iOS adopt, which is that it has an app store, but you can also download apps directly. And so one of Apple's executives, Craig Federighi, came up and said, look, this just isn't possible because actually the macOS has this level of malware that we just don't find acceptable. And that if you use that model on iOS, which has a bunch more users, it's in some ways more attractive to bad actors because it collects all of this data and it's with you all the time. If we allowed that, then it would get, in his words, run over, even worse than he says the Mac has been.
So the arguments are over. What has been the public response to the case?
Apple and Fortnite are both these brands that have really, really passionate fan bases. At the beginning of the trial, there was this public conference line, and court didn't realize that they hadn't muted everyone. So you had these kids screaming free Fortnite on the line after they had dialed in. And meanwhile, there are a bunch of Apple fans, and Apple fans are really mad at what they see as Epic being duplicitous because it had planned this whole project that it called Project Liberty that was its sort of attempt to get kicked off the store, basically, so that they could sue, or at least to do something that they knew was really likely to get them kicked off.
What do you make of such strong feelings among the public about these companies?
I mean, in a way, it makes sense. Fortnite is a really huge part of a lot of people's lives. And Apple makes products that a lot of people like. But also, this kind of a fun case because it's two really rich companies going up against each other in a way that does not end with anybody going to jail. I mean, maybe one of the reasons people are calling it the Super Bowl is because it's kind of fun.
Addie Robertson is a senior reporter for The Verge. And now for some related links. Addie Robertson also reported on the testimony of Epic's CEO Tim Sweeney, who argued something probably not heard in federal court before. He said Fortnite is something called a metaverse, and referenced sci-fi author Neal Stephenson's novel Snow Crash, which depicts a kind of next version of the internet, a virtual world where people live and play and shop. The case also brought some slightly juicy corporate secrets into the public eye. Slate reports that among the embarrassing revelations were new details of the largest known iPhone hack in 2015, which affected more than 100 million users, and an email exchange between Apple and Epic's CEOs that shows Apple's Tim Cook oblivious about the identity of his counterpart at Epic back in 2015. I would imagine they probably know each other now. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey folks, we've got some business to take care of before the holiday weekend. Marketplace is a nonprofit newsroom, and your donations are an important part of our budget. Every dollar you give goes right back into the tech and business journalism you love. To stay on track with our budget, we're looking for 4,000 investors to join or renew by the end of this week. I hope the next one is you. Give right now at marketplace.org/givetech. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.